Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, your host. My guest today needs really no introduction to a college football fan. Ivan Maisel, a longtime college football writer. I've known about Ivan or read his columns since going back to the Dallas Morning News. I guess it's got to be 30 years ago when I was in college. He's been at ESPN, one of the founding members of ESPN.com's college football coverage, and now is with On3.com. How you doing, Ivan?
Well, I was great till you said that. Now I feel old. Yeah.
Well, we all feel old now. It's getting to me. Hey, Ivan, and this will make you feel old. You remember when the Rose Bowl, the Coliseum was a Pac-12 venue, not a Big Ten venue. on what happened yesterday. What are your thoughts about USC and UCLA heading to the Big Ten?
Well, Bobby, oddly enough, I was not as shocked as last year with Texas and OU. I guess because Texas and OU happened, you're ready for anything. But I think that this is going to be a more critical move. I think this one is going to do more damage to the body of college football as we know it than Texas and OU moving. Because them moving to the SEC, there was still a national map of five conferences that mattered. And you can argue whether the Big 12 would still matter in that format, but let's give them the benefit of the doubt. And now, the Big 10 has added and it's a zero-sum game. So now really what you've got is a very powerful Big 10, a very powerful SEC. The Big 12 and the Pac-12 don't have their bell cows, and you got the ACC sort of with one foot in each camp. So I don't see us going back. I think that, we've had a century with college sports having a nationally geographic conference basis, and we don't have that anymore. We have two big conferences.
Yeah, I'm intrigued on how it's all going to work, but really I'm of your opinion. I mean, Texas and OU to the SEC certainly played up the haves and have nots in college football from that perspective, but USC and UCLA starts lopping off an entire section of the country. The West Coast is now secondary college football. I mean, there's no two ways about it. And you leave out some major institutions, in that grouping. I mean, with the Big 12 moving, no offense to Baylor or Texas Tech or Oklahoma State, or even Kansas State. Kansas really was the only one that had the national name from a basketball footprint that was left, even though there's great schools. I mean, Iowa State's has incredible fan following. But with the Pac-12, they didn't have that great fan following in the first place in a lot of places. They had good, but not great. But leaving Stanford out, I mean, that's counter to anything I know. From that standpoint, John Wilner, who broke the story, congrats to him, by the way, he's saying that he doesn't know if the Big Ten's done. Does that mean they're going to look even further in the Pac-12 for more schools for the Big Ten? What is anybody's best guess at this point?
Well, there's no magic. There's no magic to having 16. If you can have 14, then you can have 18. You can have 20. It stands to reason that the appeal of a UW, of a Stanford and Cal, of an Arizona State are four very good sized metropolitan, three very good sized metropolitan areas. And you can say the same thing about Salt Lake and Denver, for that matter, with Utah and CU. Oregon has the appeal of having a bottomless wallet, so yeah, there's still some schools out there to be plucked. The thought occurred to me as you were describing them leaving is, and what's left behind is, why is anybody in LA going to sign with any of those Pac-12 schools now if they don't even get to play in LA anymore? So, I think the ramifications of this are only going to get larger the more we think about it.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair question from a recruiting perspective. I hadn't even gone, completely gone there yet. Your alma mater is Stanford, yes. Right? And so what do you see as a future just for a school like Stanford, for example, which is a beacon in many ways of athletics and academics at the highest level?
Well, they're flabbergasted the way everybody is. And I've talked to people out there, just sort of, what do you think? I haven't talked to anybody that's making any decisions, but the way I see it, and from what I gather from people I've talked to on and off campus, they basically got four options. One is, to stick with the status quo or what's left of the status quo. Two is Stanford's still trying to figure out how it's going to handle Alston and actually paying student athletes money that's not available to other undergraduates. They're trying to get comfortable with that idea, and they're wondering if they can be comfortable with that idea. So until the administration decides they can make that step forward, one way they're wondering aloud is it going to be time to try to gather other like-minded schools and go in a different direction? They're open to that discussion.
Which way would they be on that discussion?
If they could get the academically oriented major, FBS schools and sound them out and see if they're willing to go a route where, you're not committing to be what's, essentially the Premier League of college athletics, which is, the SEC Big 12 route. Stanford would listen to that, I think, but they're also aware that they can head out in this new direction and they're going to be Frank the Tank and old school, and they're streaking and, we're streaking and there's nobody behind them, they're trying to figure all that, that's what they're trying to figure out, and the other thing is, does the Pac-12, how comfortable would Stanford be and how comfortable would the entire Pac-12 be with taking in schools that they've turned their noses up at for the last, umpteen years because they don't meet the Pac-12 standards? Are they going to suddenly say, okay, we can live with San Diego State, Fresno State, Boise State? I'm skeptical of that. And then the last option to me is the Pac-12 with Stanford goes to the Big 12 and says, let's figure something out, and have some sort of symbiotic relationship. But I don't know that that solves the media rights revenue issue any better than where they are now.
Is it one of the things that strikes me in this is the splitting of UCLA, the public school UCLA, and Cal. You would think that they would be in conjunction, but clearly not.
Yeah, we could name 40 states where the governor and or the legislature would step in and go, wait just a minute, you're not leaving without them. know, that's how Virginia Tech got into the ACC. And you know, we can reel off any number of other examples. You know, when the Southwest Conference imploded 30 years ago, Baylor got into the Big 12, and TCU didn't because there were more Baylor people in charge of state government. So, yeah, I'm surprised that that didn't exist. You know, you've got a powerful governor. You have the Speaker of the United States House is from the Bay Area. You know, and it shows you how quietly this was handled by USC and UCLA. And I'm kind of surprised that maybe the UCLA administrators got the okay from somebody in Sacramento that they could do this. I don't know, but.
At some point you got to go where the money is too. You can't begrudge them. It looks like it could be north of 40 more million per year is what they think.
Well, yeah, I get, yeah, of course, Bobby, you know, the first three reasons that you do this is money, money, and money. Yeah. But, I mean, spare me the BS that we have been fed for ages about student athlete welfare. You're going to put every athlete on your campus onto a plane for at least four hours in at least two time zones for every conference road game. And, and the UCLA statement Thursday night said, well, they'll be able to track. We'll have the money that they can travel more, in better accommodations. Well, that doesn't compress time. That doesn't change time zones. It's
money before student athlete, and I guess we shouldn't be surprised.
You mentioned there are two ways that Stanford could go: the status quo and a reconfigured Pac-12. Maybe offer invite some others, then deciding whether or not they want to. How they want to handle the Alston case. And that means whether or not they want to enter the Premier League or, find some like-minded universities that want to be a little bit that want to be different. Clearly right. Not Big Ten and SEC, what they're trying to do. Right. Any other thoughts on what that group of schools might do?
You ready?
Showtime. On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Well, Northwestern is, they're safe. Vanderbilt is safe. A Duke and a UVA, maybe a Carolina, the ACC is on decently solid ground at this point. It would be, Stanford would have to do a terrific sales job to make that kind of league happen. I think Stanford, the other option is, that they don't play football, and I don't know if anybody, the alumni would be in an uproar about that, but the administration feels very strongly about, making sure that they're the dog and athletics is the tail and not the other way around. And this is not an administration that, frankly, they don't have great interest in athletics, and it's not a high priority for them the way it has been in the past. They became painfully aware last year of how important it is to the alumni when they tried to cut 11 sports and just got shouted into submission. But that didn't really change how they think about athletics.
This move takes the Big Ten to 16 or 18. I can't remember. 16, this correct?
Big Ten is 16, yes.
Okay. Say two conferences go to 20 with the SEC and the Pac-12. Does the Big Ten try to pick up a team like Colorado to kind of bridge that land gap Or is it Washington, Oregon, Cal, Stanford? And what about Arizona State? I mean, you know, Phoenix is such a huge, I don't know if it's the biggest market out there, but it's certainly a big one. And they've got a lot of living in, well, alumni. I don't know that their fan base is necessarily as ardent as others. What goes next in the pecking order, the Pac, what was the Pac-12 right now?
Well, they've all got, you know, they've all got attributes that would be attractive to a Big Ten. You know, Stanford brings you prestige and athletic prowess in a lot of sports. It also brings you, at least technically, a big media market in the Bay Area. You know, now you can argue whether sports fans in the media in the Bay Area care about Cal or Stanford if you look at Cal and Stanford's attendance, you know, but still, you know, they are the presence there. And it's the same way with Arizona State. They do pretty well in the Valley, which is a pro market. UW does very well in the Seattle market, probably the best college in a pro market in terms of interest and attendance. And that should be appealing. And Oregon brings, you know, Oregon will spend whatever Oregon needs to spend to do whatever Oregon needs to do. I mean, Mr. Knight has made that abundantly clear for 30 years. So they have attributes, and, you know, they are they attractive to make the Big Ten look beyond 16? Are they attractive to make the SEC look beyond 16? This is all, you know, we've all sort of focused on getting to 16 because that's where our eyes, that was the next big number. But there are other even numbers beyond 16, I'm told. I didn't do well in math, but.
Well, we'll get, you had to do somewhat well in math to get into Stanford would be my guess. What about the SEC? Because this is where you start thinking about it from a Texas viewpoint. And, you know, do they try to poach a Florida State? I know Florida has been against that probably. And North Carolina, I tell you what I'm thinking. On the eastern, in the eastern half of the United States, there are really probably two to three schools left, three to four maybe, from a football perspective, that start moving the needle from a viewership perspective and a meaning perspective. It is Florida State, Clemson, and then I would throw in North Carolina simply because they do have an avid fan base in both sports, primarily basketball. Nobody doubts that. But North Carolina is kind of like that linchpin that takes maybe the importance away of a Virginia being solo or Virginia Tech. And you have this loose conglomerate of schools, but it would seem to me that everybody's talking, oh, well, they're going to go to 40. It seems like to me, if you really got down to it, probably the number is more like 44 to 46, right? Of schools, as opposed to 40 and two, you know what I mean? And so I think, I wonder if that's from the SEC perspective, what, you know, those guys have to be thinking Sankey and all those guys.
Well, yeah. And Bobby, I'm sure people in Bristol are crunching numbers just as people at, you know, the Fox offices in LA have been crunching numbers and trying to figure out, is this something worth looking into? Do we need to do this not only to cover our flanks, but to make more money? Can it make more money? And that would really set in stone what we started talking about at the top, which is it's two conferences. And I don't know. I mean, I'm, you know, to bemoan, you know, the passing of college football as we know it just makes, you know, I know that makes me sound like, you know, I'm old. And I guess, you know, when you have appreciated a sport for as long as I've appreciated college football and it's changing so radically, of course you're going to mourn. It doesn't mean that what is coming up is going to be rotten. It's just different. I think if you listen to the SEC coaches in Destin in the spring, when, you know, an older guy like Saban is complaining about the way NIL is going and the younger coaches are just saying, yeah, it'll be fine. It'll work itself out. You know, I'm not worried. That's what we're looking at here to me. You know, it's concerning because so much of what we like about the sport is changing. And then the question is, will it change the essence of the appeal of the sport? And I don't think it will. It's just going to be very different.
I think that football is such a, you know, I wonder, I mean, it's not just that football, and I know most people that are watching this certainly are, they love their football tied to a certain university, right?
Right.
And so there's that, you know, rooting aspect of it. But the reality of it is it's football. There's college football on Saturday and pro football on Sunday. And that's how, you know, half of male America spends their time, you know? So I think that, you know, it can be, there can be some lack of interest about it based on purity, for lack of a better term, which is what you're really talking about, the pageantry or the purity of being a student athlete, going to school, and it not being all about skipping over the Rocky Mountains to go play Nebraska in November, right? For USC. I feel like if we go in this direction, which it clearly is, I mean, and the one thing that I love that you said, is you brought up Fox and ESPN. You know, we can talk about Texas and OU moving to the SEC. We can talk about USC and UCLA moving to the Big Ten. The drivers of that were the almighty dollar. You're the first three reasons, right? Money that you mentioned. Does this do? I mean, is this going to negatively affect every other property, or is it actually going to increase some other properties? I mean, I'd be interested to know, because there is this, it seems like there's a never ceasing demand for live programming in college sports.
That's a good point. You know, inventory still needs to stay up. So
yeah,
we still need games to be televised. I think the difference will be in the amount of dollars that the first two conferences attract as opposed to what the other three attract. You know, I think the gap will only widen. And, you know, to your point about purity, pageantry, I'll give you pageantry, but to me, it's more emotion and passion. And so much of that is because of our emotional ties to the school we root for. And those emotional ties are based in nostalgia, and they're based in, you know, what we watched when we were little and why that's important to us. And even not when we were little, when we were adolescents and we were here in college, and all of that is changing. And we've seen plenty of rivalries go by the boards, and still the sport is popular. But to see a whole league get tossed overboard, I'm sure it'll be fine, but wow, you know, they still need the ACC's games, and they still need the Big 12 and Pac-12's games. Somebody's got to play at 10:30 Eastern on Saturday night, and it'll be the guys on the West Coast. But the money that they get for that will be proportionately less than what they have been getting, as opposed to what SC and UCLA and what the big guys are getting. And how do you compete?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking about it. It's not, you know, a lot of Texas fans and SEC fans and fans of Big Ten fans will poke fun at the Pac-12 for attendance and whatnot. Oregon had 42,000 people at its spring game.
Yeah.
That's not a small crowd. You mentioned UW. I mean, you know, it is interesting which teams are going to be able to carry that baton and move around a little bit from here, because there are some redeeming schools in the Pac-12 without question. So I feel like there's still more hatchets to fall, I guess is the best way to put it. I mean, it's still going to happen. Yeah, teams, we just don't know what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. No, this is not, this is the end of the beginning, you know, and we keep saying that, and it keeps, you know, evolving. I mean, in spurts about every 10 years, right? You know, we had Penn State at the beginning of the 90s, and then, you know, I'm not going to go through them all, but, you know, you know, every roughly 10 years, we get a spasm of realignment and things get more and more out of whack. But, you know, this is much different. You know, this is, you know, for geographic reasons and historic reasons or historical reasons. And, but, you know, I don't know why anybody would think they're going to stop here, because they've proven that they don't know how to stop.
That's a great line, because it's so true. Yeah. Right. I mean, if people put it put you as the czar of college football, do you try to just get everybody together and in a room, say who wants to play this kind of ball and who wants to play one that's a little bit a different brand of, not necessarily a different brand of football, but a different set of rules?
Well, sure. I mean, there's never been and never will be a level playing field. And, you know, Alabama's budget is bigger than Eastern Michigan's, right? You know, but now the budgets of the Alabamas and the LSUs and the Ohio States and the Wisconsins are going to be different than Arizona State and Oregon State, you know, et cetera. And everybody's going to want to compete at that high, a lot of people are going to want to continue to compete at the quote highest level, but I think there are some that are going to just say, you know, let's go to Division 1B, you know, and let's stay with the rules as they are now, you know, and we're not going to pay our kids Alston money, and we're not going to do this. And, you know, we're going to try to keep some sort of perspective. And if they have a national championship, then they become, you know, what, you know, there's nothing wrong with being the 1B national champions, you know? So,
yeah,
I think that's a possibility.
Yeah. I think you're going to find some, but in the Pac-12, I don't see any of them that are going to feel that way. Utah, Colorado, those are schools with, you know, I feel like, to your point, I think that Oklahoma and Texas, yes, they knew they were leaving. They were the big dogs in a conference. USC and UCLA were the largest media people probably in that conference as well. But the difference here is you're leaving behind a different kind of group of people. I mean, Colorado, Oregon, Washington, Arizona State, Cal, Stanford. I mean, they're just a kind of a Utah. I mean, different caliber there of what's left in some ways. And so how does that all play out? It's just fascinating to me. Ivan, I appreciate your time again. Not many people can have the experience or lend their knowledge to this stuff. And I appreciate you coming on and talking with me about it.
Well, Bobby, I'm just glad that we could solve all those problems, you know, on one afternoon of a holiday weekend, and now we can go celebrate our holiday and move on.
Yeah. We solved absolutely nothing. Yeah. We just figured out we need to talk about it some more, because we have no, I mean, we can talk about it until we're blue in the face, but they're literally that you don't know what's going to happen because it is in flux right now. Well, and ultimately Kevin Warren and Sankey are the two that are calling the shots, and then Fox and ESPN are the other two.
And yeah, so there's nobody that knows what's going to happen right now. And that's, you know, the excitement of it, you know, journalistically, but it's sort of precarious and hairy and a lot, and we'll just kind of wait and see what happens.
We didn't even mention Notre Dame, you know, to give you we didn't even put them in the conversation, which convolutes the whole thing even more, right? So,
well, yeah, but we'll do that another time.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Ivan, I appreciate you, man. You have a good weekend. Right. Happy 4th of July. All right, for Ivan Maisel, I'm Bobby Burton. That's been this episode of On Texas Football.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.